Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today, we're going to be talking to Christy Hillman. She's the Director of Recruiting and Staffing for Career Management Associates, an HR services firm in Portland, Maine. She has her CTS certification as well as her CPC certification, and we're going to be talking about those today and why staffing is important. Christy, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for asking me, Dave.
You know, one of the things that we have not yet talked about here on the HR Power is the staffing agency or staffing industry in terms of what's going on out there. So, first of all, maybe I guess the first question would be is why would an organization consider or use a temporary staff person?
You know, temporary staff is a great way to supplement your existing staff without necessarily adding to your headcount. A lot of companies will bring on temporary staff when they've got a large project or there's a vacancy or they have a position open that they need to hire, but they really want to try somebody out first. There are companies that have cyclical business, and temporary people can help out during peak periods. That sometimes can assist your existing workforce by preventing burnout so that they're not the ones working a lot of overtime. And, you can add to your staff temporarily without really adding headcount and then adding expense.
Well, you know, certainly today with companies looking at budgets and looking at what they need to do, this would sound like a great idea for an organization who may not be ready yet to hire a person on permanently. Mm-hmm. Temp staffing could be used, I would assume, to be really looking at somebody who could be test-driven, you know, brought into an organization and see how they're doing. Would that be a good...
Exactly. It happens all the time. You know, the types of candidates that we see on a, typically are professionals. They've been downsized or outsourced or they're in transition. So they bring a lot of skills to the table, and often we'll put them on a temporary assignment and it'll be for a fairly singular task role, and they'll get into that company and they'll mesh with the culture, and then that gives the company really the chance to see who they are, what they can do. And you know, most temporary people go in to companies really putting their best foot forward because they want to get hired. So it gives the hiring managers and the organization a good chance to see who they are before they do hire them.
No, I think today that's rather important because certainly it is a big expense to hire somebody. Mm-hmm. And, this gives somebody an opportunity to show what they can do, a company to see about the fit. You talked a little bit about fit of an organization, and I think certainly we always think that that's an important aspect of it. So, you know, there are a lot of temp agencies out there. There are a lot of staffing firms out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell me a little about from your experience, and you've been doing this for many, many years.
Thank you for not saying how long.
But many years.
Right.
Tell me a little about if I was the head of an organization or I was in HR, if I'm a plant manager, how would I go about choosing a temporary staffing firm and what are some of the things I need to look at?
Okay. I think the first thing I would do or recommend that you do is go to the web and, look up or do a Google search for staffing firms, recruiting companies, supplemental staff, and find out who's in your area. I mean, there are lots of national firms, certainly, but there's a lot of local firms. I think depending on what you need, there's a firm for everybody. So there are firms that specialize in one type of employee, whether it's healthcare or accounting. There are firms that specialize in sort of labor-related positions. There are firms that specialize in executive placements. So really find out who fits what you're looking for. And then I'd ask for referrals. I'd call the staffing company. I'd ask, and I would expect that they would meet me face to face, because I think the biggest piece of making a good match on a temporary basis or even for recruiting is getting to know who works at a company, what's their workforce look like, what's their culture like, what do they expect out of their employees, who's going to fit in. That's the biggest piece, so I would absolutely expect them to come meet with you. The other thing that's important is there's a couple of national associations for staffing and recruiting firms. NAPS is one of them. That's the National Association of Personnel Services. There's the ASA, which is the American Staffing Association. I would find that my recommendation would be find a firm that is a part of that association, because their recruiters and staffing professionals have to fulfill yearly educational requirements that provide them with, among other things, updated employment laws, and it binds them to a code of ethics in their profession. So I think when you find, and this is not a plug for them, but it's certainly like the Better Business Bureau, you know, you want to make sure that you're getting the best you can. You want to find a firm that's affiliated with one of those groups.
You know, you talk a little bit about associations, and it just so happens within the next few weeks we're going to have the president of NAPS on the show, so I'm looking forward to talking with him.
But, oh, good.
But one of the things that you talk about is reputation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're talking about a staffing professional or someone who has done this for a while, you know, there are designations like SHRM has the SPHR or the PHR. There are some designations in terms of staffing and recruiting, and I know one is CTS and the other is CTP. Can you explain those to the audience?
Sure. The CPC is a Certified Personnel Consultant, and that that designation really is for recruiters who are doing direct hire recruiting. So, again, it's really the focus is on employment law. You learn about what questions to ask, what questions not to ask, how to really evaluate a candidate. You learn how to build business. You learn how to do business with your clients and how to be very responsive. They also do training on the latest recruiting technologies, whether it's social media or, you know, any of those technologies. The CTS is a Certified Temporary Specialist, and so that's sort of the other side of that. That certification, again, is really focused on employment law, and as I mentioned, it binds you to a code of ethics. We don't poach. Anybody who has that designation will not sort of recruit from an existing client. They won't recruit someone they've recruited in the past. I mean, there's just lots of rules that you must uphold in order to keep that certification.
And I would think an organization would want to know that there's some ethical guidelines that...
Absolutely.
You know, there are a lot of staffing firms out there, and most of them are reputable, and we certainly know that, and there are some that may not be. So I think it's important that an organization does that. So now that the person has done their homework, if you would say, the professional's done their homework, they've gone out, they've gone on the web, they've checked this out, they've noticed that they're part of NAPS, for example, they've maybe called the professional, got some references... You know, what are some of the questions maybe that they should ask the firm themselves in terms of that?
I'd really look at the firm and its structure. I'd want to know how long they've been in business. You know, what kind of clients do they have? Are they staffing positions that are similar to yours? Does this firm have clients that are similar to your organization? Let's say, for instance, it's medical. You want to work with a firm that's recruited and done staffing in maybe medical offices or insurance companies so that they know the language. I would also ask, you know, what's the turnover in your company? There's nothing worse than creating a relationship with your staffing professional and having them leave. I know that some staffing firms have a pretty high turnover. I think those companies are the volume shops. You know, they're the ones where they've got call volumes they have to meet every day, and they've got to get a certain number of people out in a staffing role every week. They seem to have higher turnover, where I think some of the smaller firms really focus on the partnering with your company. They get to know you. They actually come to your site, meet your managers. So I'd ask about their retention rates. And then I'd want to know what the org chart looks like. Who's running this thing? who's going to be my account manager? Is it going to be a staffing professional? Is it going to be a strictly account management person? In some of the smaller companies, those people are the same people. In some of the larger companies, that duty is split up. But ask who your point of contact is and ask about their background. And then, find out what are they offering the temporary candidates. Do they offer insurance? Do they have unemployment insurance for those people? Do they offer benefits for those people? I mean, those are all important things that you want to know before you sign on with a company. And we can talk about the contractual piece of it, too. I mean, that probably makes sense if you want to talk about that
sure.
an hour later. But
yeah, no, and I think that's fine because I think that was actually going to be my next question is, now that you have had these conversations and you're talking about getting the firm that, that you've selected, what are some of the contractual things that you're going to have to deal with as a, business leader or HR professional with that firm?
Yeah, mostly the companies will mostly have to sign a contract with a staffing firm that either binds them to an exclusive relationship or is just an agreement that states they will pay the company once a temporary staff person is assigned. I would say my advice would be to create and develop relationships with a couple of staffing firms so that you get the best service. There's nothing worse, I think, for somebody in my position than to have a client call me and say, well, I've called 11 firms and you're the 12th, so whoever finds me the best person first wins. I want to work with somebody I know, and I'm assuming that company managers want to work with someone they know as well. So I'd find two or three good firms that you like, create that solid relationship, and then the next time you call them for a supplemental staff, you really speak shorthand. They know who you are. They know who fits into your culture. They know what you need. So that's my advice. The contracts make it real easy for companies to hire staff. I mean, really, you are alleviating yourself of having to process payroll for those people, provide benefits for those people. That all falls on the shoulders of the staffing firm.
Well, I think a relationship is key, and certainly mm-hmm. building a long-term relationship. I mean, most of these companies that are out there, we're thinking about, well, it's another vendor, right? And mm-hmm. and there is a difference between a vendor and a relationship. And
right.
I think that the difference is that you want to make sure that you really have a relationship with that organization so they get you, they know you're fit. And I know
right, you're their partner
you're
for
their
the
partner.
Most part.
Absolutely.
Yep, you do need a partnership. Again, you don't want to have a vendor come in and give you a temporary staffing person because really how well do they know your organization? Do they know about your product? Do they know about your service? If you don't have a relationship with someone, I don't think that happens. I don't think they're going to spend the time to get to know you and your firm.
And you talked about going on site. I know some organizations would say, well, why exactly do they need to come on site? Can you explain why that's important?
Sure. Again, I think it's to evaluate culture and to get to know the firm. The commitment we make to our temporary staffing candidates is that we would never send them somewhere we haven't been. So I cannot imagine sending a temporary staffing candidate to a company that I've never been to. It just doesn't make any sense. You need to know where they're going. You need to know what they're getting into to be able to talk to them about, what should they wear? What does this company do? Who are they? Who works there? What's the staff look like? You want a good sense of the company before you send somebody in. And again, to build the relationship, you need to be on site occasionally to talk with your managers, find out how the staff is doing. We're providing a service. Yes, we're providing people, but we're really providing a service. That's what we're doing.
Well, you're talking about a relationship. It's not only the relationship with the organization. It's a relationship with the candidate, the individual
right.
that's going to be coming in to interview with you or a member of the team and get ready to be brought on board as a contributor to this organization. They want to know that you've been there. They want to know that you understand that it's an okay place to go because it is a little bit different when we're interviewing them
right.
initially versus right. then the organization.
Right, and it's a little nerve-wracking, a little scary to be going to someplace different maybe every 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, think about the last time you started a new job. There's always apprehension. Yes, you may have interviewed and you sort of know who they are, but your first day is scary. You know, you want someone to be able to guide you through that. So for me to be able to say to a candidate, here's where you're going, here's where you'll park, please bring your lunch. They have a lunch room. Here's who your supervisor is. Here's all of their contact information. Please see the HR person so that they can give you an orientation. I mean, those things are, you want to sort of onboard someone smoothly so that they have, so they succeed. You don't want them walking in the first day being nervous, upset, stressed, not understanding what their role is.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're talking to Kristy Hillman, Director of Staffing and Recruiting for Career Management Associates here in Portland, Maine. So we are talking about temporary staffing or using a staffing professional or professional firm. Tell me some of the pros in terms of, we're going to talk of pros and cons, but tell me some of the pros first about using a staffing firm. We talked a little bit about, obviously, the flexibility, but tell me a little bit about some of the other pros.
The flexibility is one of the key things. It really, bringing on temporary staff enables your business to adjust more easily and quickly to workload fluctuations. Hiring somebody permanently takes weeks, we all know that, but bringing a temporary person on board who understands your business and who knows that they're going to be in there for a singular task takes 24 to 48 hours. So you can really quickly address those issues. So let's say you've got an employee absence. You've got somebody who's out on a maternity leave, a disability leave. They've quit suddenly. Again, using a temporary person, you can get somebody in there really quickly. I'd say the other part of it is supplementing your workforce. Temporary work is just one of the ways that businesses can offer flexibility to their own staff, to their existing staff. Let's say somebody needs a shortened work schedule for a while to deal with healthcare issues or anything. Bringing a temporary staffing person on there can really supplement, your existing workforce. And then another pro really is, using a temporary service and creating the relationship that we talked about earlier allows you to really ask for and get exactly who you need and what you need when you need it. So it's not, you're not reinventing the wheel every time you call a new staffing firm.
Before we get into the cons, I think I'm going to ask a question that maybe people have thought of as they're listening to all those, pros. They may say, well, can I really find a qualified, experienced person? Because maybe, I always think of temporary staffing as somebody who's maybe, new in the workforce, trying to come up. Could you answer that question in terms
of... Sure. That's certainly the case. We do see a lot of new college grads that are looking for sort of their first real job. But in the last 3 or 4 years, what we've seen more are professionals who have been downsized, outsourced. They've retired and they realize they don't like being retired, and they're young and they still want to contribute. So, we see lawyers, financial professionals, all the way up to the CFO level who are looking for work. Administrative assistants and clerical people, certainly we have those, but there are more and more companies hiring IT professionals on a contract basis. Those are, the IT people specifically, usually work anywhere from 6 to 18 months on projects. So we have candidates at every level. It's not just the picking and packing and the answering the phones anymore. There certainly is some of that, but it's not the majority of the types of people we see.
And certainly when we're talking about this, we're not talking about just temporary person for 1 or 2 days. And there are those. There's no question mm-hmm. about that. But temporary could be on a long-term basis, right? Somebody for
exactly.
6, 12, 18 months.
Exactly, yeah. Their positions are really every length, and I think the more senior they are, the longer they go on. With companies closing or restructuring, you've got the human resources people that are in there for the whole process, whether they're, in there helping with the benefits negotiation, or you've got a downsizing coming up, or you've got a CFO who is assisting with a financial conversion. I mean, yeah, those are long-term projects.
We've talked about some of the pros about having a staffing professional, and with any process or any program, there are always concerns. I won't necessarily call them cons, but concerns. Mm-hmm. Tell me one or two or a couple concerns that maybe you may experience by bringing a temp in, and maybe how you can overcome them, too.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest is the training needs. I mean, every time a temp starts a new work assignment, no matter how skilled they are, there's a certain amount of training or orientation needed for them to get up to speed. Now, it could be an hour and a half. It could be a day and a half, depending on the complexity of the position. So there is some commitment on the part of the employer to train that person and get them up and running. There are occasionally sort of morale issues when you bring a temporary person on. Generally, the temporary people will make more money on an hourly basis than the existing staff, and that's just because they're not getting benefits. They're not permanent. You don't want them jumping to a new assignment for the next, you know, for 50 cents more an hour. So occasionally, existing employees might feel slighted that that happens. It's rare, but it's certainly there.
Well, you know, before you move further, I think I just want to explore that for just a second, because maybe someone might not understand that, you know, that company is not paying, they're paying one fee per hour.
Right.
And what that covers. So just quickly explain what that covers, and then we'll move on to the other,
sure,
the other cons.
Well, when a temporary person is assigned to a company, the staffing agency really is their employer. So a company will, for instance, pay me an hourly rate, and out of that rate, I'm going to pay the employee's payroll. I'm going to cover their, you know, taxes, workers' comp, and then, of course, there's a little bit of profit built in there. But, yeah, the company does not pay the employee. The staffing agency does.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and certainly we know that the margin having to do with staffing over the number of years has dropped dramatically, and that's certainly because of cost of benefits, cost of unemployment insurance,
sure,
cost of workers' comp. And so I think that, you know, people have to, I guess, understand that when they're going to a workforce and maybe somebody who normally would work, they would make $12 an hour, and it might be a little bit more than they're paying that person. They're not having to worry about the workers' comp. They're not having to worry about unemployment insurance or anything like that.
You know, and the other thing is they don't have to worry about unemployment claims, because those would fall, again, on the staffing agency. So let's just say they've got a temp in there and the temp works for 5 weeks and then their assignment's over. The company will not see the unemployment claim. The staffing agency will handle that.
Sure, no, and that's a big,
that's another good pro.
It's huge.
I forgot about that one.
No, that's really a pro. That's absolutely a big pro.
Right.
Are there any legal concerns that companies should look at in terms of, you know, hiring a temporary staffing person? And, you know, is there anything like that?
I think the only legal concern really would be how long you're keeping somebody on as a temp. I mean, there is a certain amount of time where it doesn't make any sense to do that, and it's different in every state. But temporary workers really should be treated with the same respect and care as they treat their permanent staff. I think most companies are absolved of most of the legal issues because they are not the actual employer.
You know, some surveys of employees have found an assumption that temporary workers are generally less reliable than their permanent employee counterparts. You know, is that a myth or is that reality?
In my experience, it's a myth. Temporary workers really are very motivated and, again, want to put their best foot forward so that they are hired on. I think they tend to work a little bit harder, actually, sometimes than existing staff. They're out there trying to prove themselves.
If you were to look at an organization that you have come in contact with that has really been successful, without naming the organization, tell me what you think would be a story that you could tell of a successful staffing experience.
Yeah, I had one just recently. It was a small private school, and they had been looking off and on for a finance assistant. And they brought a couple people on. They tried one. The person was not necessarily the best fit for the finance role, but they liked her so much they kept her and put her in an administrative role. And then, of course, we're looking for a finance person again, so we did fill that position. But the reason that's such a success is that the business director actually looked at the staff and decided where they would fit in best, knowing that it was a quality person, not wanting to have to go through the whole process again, found a place for that very qualified person in their organization.
No, that's great. Now, you're here in the Portland market, and obviously, as full disclosure, obviously, you work for Career Management Associates, which is the organization that presents this show.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, the Portland market. Why do you stay here?
You know, I stay in it personally because of the relationships. I've been in the business, and I'll even say it out loud, since 1998. I love the climate. The company relationships that I've built here in the past nearly 20 years are very solid. We've got a lot of small to mid-sized companies here who really value the contribution that their employees make. I think for the most part, a lot of the companies around here are very employee-centric, and a lot of these companies realize that the talent pool really is getting smaller and smaller, and they are doing everything they can to keep their top people engaged. And again, because I've been in it so long, you know, I've worked with the same people over and over for years. It's more vibrant than ever. Lots of companies are moving into Portland. Small companies, certainly, but there are lots of new companies. I heard this morning of a new financial company moving in. There's a lot of new hospitality companies going in. There is a new magazine coming to Portland. It's specifically a travel magazine. So there's a lot of new business coming here, which keeps it very exciting.
No, that's awesome. And, of course, you know, you've had a long-term relationship here in Portland. And if somebody wanted to reach you, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, they can certainly call Career Management Associates, or they could email me. It's chilman@cmacareer.com. So any clients or candidates certainly could reach me here.
And the phone number is 207-780-1125. Christy, thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome, Dave. Thank you.